late with Dougie. Waking up 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 late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie Show, starring Dougie Almeida, from Danger Studios in Carl Springs, Florida. Now, here's Dougie Almeida.
That's interesting. Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's Tuesday afternoon in South Florida, Danger Studios. I'm here with Mr. Peter Leonard.
Here today by Kaylin at Wild Orchid, Boca Raton.
Right. Yeah, let's give that mic a pop.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah.
Is that better?
That works. Anyway, welcome to the show. And yeah, Elgin's out again. I guess the fact that he doesn't have an airbag in his car has just turned into like he doesn't want to drive it.
Is that it?
You know what I mean? I don't know. Well, if you don't have an airbag, does that... But he can't show up. He's not here. So... Elgin's out.
He's got to be driving somewhere for like actual paid gigs.
Yeah, exactly.
Either that or take an Uber or thumbing it. Or
I'm not going to risk life.
He's got the wife to, you know, but she's working now, so at night she can drive him around.
Right. Yeah. I'm not going to risk my life.
Yeah.
You know, for podcast money.
Dude, you saw what he drove before this last car.
Right.
He was risking his life on a daily,
remember that?
Basis. Yeah, that car.
Was it a Hyundai Tiburon?
Yeah, it was tipping all right. A Tiburon. It was
a Hyundai
tipping this
Tiburon.
Way. It tipped this way. It was a Tiburon. Yeah.
Hyundai Tiburon. It was like their first attempt at a sports car, the Hyundai.
Yeah.
And, yeah, but, you know, he's moving up. He's got a Honda Civic now.
That's a nice car.
Right?
Yep.
But they stole his shit. So.
Yeah. They took his
airbag and popped his. I don't know. He wasn't having a good day, but I actually woke up today and it was everything just. Started falling into place.
Did it?
Yeah. I had one of those days like, well, that was great, and then something else great happened, and then
rarely
even another great, like three greats in a row.
That only happens when I'm regular.
Yeah.
Wait, wow, another cup of coffee, and here we go again. This is beautiful.
Yeah.
At my age, you know, that's a big thing.
That's important.
A good
beer. Yeah, I have a few in the morning.
Yeah.
So, you know, should I make the announcement since... tell everybody?
No.
I was told I could promote it.
Mm.
No, not about all the particulars, but where I'm going to be next week on Wednesday morning. I could promote it.
Yeah, you could do that. That'd be great.
Yeah. You know, it's good that this makeshift studio here has kind of amounted to something. You know, I was wanting to do this, and, you know, I wanted the idea of the... Originally, which was the Lenny and Dougie show, which was my buddy Lenny Travis and myself, and then the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, which was Lenny, Peter, and a whole cult of co-hosts over the years.
Right.
You know, a lot of practice. Like, hey, you know what? If anything, you know, if you want to be, you know, no one's going to give me a radio job. No one's going to give me, like, you know, why? Because I buy a mic.
Right.
But, you know, there was a need. You know, we listen to morning radio, you know, listen to Howard. I said, this is, you know, I want to add my own spice to this.
Right.
And that's what we've done. So, you know, I guess if you make enough noise, you know, I guess if you do something enough, eventually people tell you to quit because you suck.
Right.
Or, you know, you find greener pastures.
Yeah.
So on Wednesday next week, I'm going to be kind of sitting in on the Paul Castronova morning show on...
Big 105.9
FM. Big 105.9 FM.
That's fantastic, man.
So I'm excited about that. So catch, listen, call, be my support. Don't be an asshole. You know, some people will call and say, you know, they'll mess with me.
Right.
You know, how can you have that loser on there?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, but if you call in and people know that, if you tell your friends to call and you post it and stuff, A, it shows your popularity and that you have a local following.
Right.
Which is very important in local radio.
You would hope.
Okay, it's important in local radio that these people are local, that they're listening, that they would tune in at 6:05. My question to you is two things. Number one, Are you prepared to wake up at 4:30 in the morning because you've got to schlep down?
I got to be there at 7:45.
Oh, seven.
I'm sitting in around the 8 o'clock hour.
I understand that. That's for this particular show.
Oh, but yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not getting ahead of myself.
No, I'll get ahead of you because I certainly can't fit behind you.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to do is tell you that, are you ready? If the call came and I did that morning show thing and I drove up to West Palm from Boca, and it's the same drive that you'll be driving down to, and it was 4:40 in the morning and you're on the road at 5:10 so that you get there at least 20 minutes early so you can do a little show prep and you're thinking about things.
Yeah, and it'd be, whatever. It wouldn't be a problem for me.
It's exciting because then you could come home and go to sleep, actually, for a few hours.
Right.
And neglect your clients entirely.
Listen, again, I don't want to be presumptuous and get into that mode of thinking because that affects, that clouds up my mind with nonsense. What I need to worry about is, just going on the show and doing a good job.
Right.
I'll be sitting there going,
Now, let me ask you this. You're not coming on as
You're
not coming on as a comedian and you're appearing somewhere. So that's one thing you've got to overcome.
Mm.
Telling jokes on the radio doesn't work. So what you have to do is kind of...
Well, you do it all day.
No, what I do... No,
it's in that co-host seat, you do.
But I work a joke into a conversation that makes it funny. It's not like you sit there and go, hey, did you...
It's got to be conversational humor.
Correct.
It's got to be witty and,
Right. So, and you know who does it great is your boy Will Schreiner.
Yeah.
Now, you...
He was on Monday.
Right.
He was on the Paul Casanova show on Monday.
Right.
And you were talking about bowel movements. I was having one.
Right.
And I get up early and I go and I turn... There's a radio in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the first time I get up that early. I listen,
mm-hmm.
turn it on. Want to hear it. And I hear Will. I go, oh, that's awesome.
Right.
And then during the progress of the show, I guess two people were let go from the show.
Right.
And the minute I heard that, I swear to God, the minute I heard that, a bell went off in my head and I go, oh my God. And I know Will. Will's a friend of mine. I was going, being in the situation that Will's there, maybe Will will say something.
Yeah.
Hey, I know a guy that probably would do well here on the mic.
Right.
Yeah, I know a guy who might, you know, add to the team.
Right. So what you need to do is maybe we'll try it the second half hour of today's show. Maybe
yeah.
Tuesday. Let me host the show today, like I'll be the Casanova role.
Oh, really?
And you fit in as the co-host.
You think?
Because, dude, you're going to have a... I don't want to put a, as we say in Yiddish, a shunder. I don't want to put a hex on you.
All right.
But, you're going to... Just don't take control of the show like I do here. Anyway, you're going to do great there. And, Gia... who I've met 1,000 times.
Right.
We did a gig together at the...
she's on the show. She's still on the... She wasn't one of the...
Right.
No,
she's still there. But Sharp Dress John and I guess the other cat, I forgot his name. He's gone. But that's radio, man. It happens all the time. If I tell you how many...
Hey, all I can say is it was
just
weird.
I worked with Paul, two different stations.
It was just weird because, like I said, the minute I heard that, I thought I don't know. You know what I mean? It was like a weird feeling, and it just felt like, oh man, this could be an opportunity.
And there it is.
And then on Wednesday morning, my phone rings.
Yeah.
Tuesday morning, my phone rings. So I'm, I'm pretty stoked, man. That's gonna be cool as shit.
Now, do you want to? I have a big 105.9 T-shirt. A Paul
Casanova dude, I'm not gonna be pandering. Come on,
I'd like to give
just
you
come in like a big shirt. I love Paul.
Yeah.
I love you, buddy.
You know what you do? Bring him a pizza.
Yeah,
just bring him a fucking Anthony's.
Well, here's
pizza.
A true story. I was at a Toyota dealership.
Yeah,
where I bought a car, and I had a client of mine that was actually was a sales manager there. So my first couple cars, I got a really good deal on.
Right.
So I'm on there, and Paul Casanova's there at the time when it was whenever Zeta, whatever the hell it was, or she, and I was buying a car, and he was there, and I said, "Yeah, I just bought a car," and I was talking to my girlfriend on the phone, and she was in the shower. So we were actually like,
really?
"Hey, I'm gonna basically say, yeah, you took a shower at my girlfriend and I once."
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a story,
right?
Right. I was like, what do you mean? I don't remember. And I'm like, "Yeah, well, we did," and then kind of get into it. That's a little backup story.
Now,
to
what
have.
Dealership? Because I probably was my client.
This story isn't about you. So
no, but I'm saying I'm trying to remember because I was probably that remote, and I would have known.
I'm
you.
Trying to remember.
Now I can say it
wasn't. Was
years.
It Potamkin? I can't remember. Potamkin
on 441.
I don't,
in North Miami.
Yeah, I just remember. I'm trying to remember who he worked for, but it was. It's good having the person in the car business.
So that's great that you're doing that show, man. I'm very proud of you.
Right, and then, I'm thinking this is great. I'm excited, and then I get a call from the Improv to be working to do it to feature for them on a charity show.
Wow.
On a Wednesday night in April.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I'm available.
That's fantastic.
And as a comic, that's nothing worse than when you get a booker calls you and says, "Are you available on these dates?" And you look and you're like, "You're booked at."
Right.
You know, like
especially
like,
a gig that you really want to do. Not some place you've been 1,000 times. Not some, you know, I got to go back out to Kansas.
No, I mean,
This is, they want me in Chicago in the middle of winter. No, this is a.
But not only that, if you're booked at like a, you know, a local coffee house.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that person's going to get the call. Like, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, that's happened to me. By the way, my buddy, I don't know if he's watching, if he's ever this, but our boy, Angel Salazar.
I love Angel.
Chi-Chi, by the way, he messaged me. I didn't get a chance to call him back yet. And you know, it's weird. Every time that guy calls me, I save his numbers.
Yeah.
But every time he calls me, it's a different number.
He's got three throwaway phones.
Yeah, I mean, he's a throwaway, man.
He's got people looking for him.
Yeah, these are what they call those? They're ditcher, what they call them?
Oh, my God. Whatever. You watch enough Law and Order.
I don't
know. Law and Order.
But every time, I don't recognize it. So he had to cancel his date at Tavolino's once.
Right.
This summer, but he was making a movie.
Yeah.
And God bless you, I haven't seen the movie yet. So, you know, when somebody says, I'm making a movie and I don't ever see a movie, I'm only kidding.
He does the funniest little videos. Have you seen his videos where he pretends he's Al Pacino?
Yeah.
Going into pizza parlors and shit.
So, but I'd love to have, by the way, if you're watching, buddy, I'd love to have you in my Island Murata show at Comedy Attic.
Yeah, Angel, come on.
Island Grill. But you got to commit, man. You can't miss the show. I can't, you know, but that's the thing. You know, you never want to cancel a gig. So,
no. So
it's nice when, so that boom, a nice date in April, which is packed up. I'm busy as shit in April. I can't wait. And that's my birthday month. You know? So I'm going to be celebrating the birthday month.
My birthday is Saturday, man.
It's coming up, the 16th or something like that. What is
it? No, this Saturday,
the 8th, 9th?
The 10th.
10th.
Yep.
What are you going to be like, 79?
51.
Somewhere in between, it's my bracket. No, we could bracket that with you and I.
I'm proud of it. I'll be 62 years old.
Yeah. Dude, 62, man.
Yep.
That's, you know, God bless.
Not bad. Not right? bad, 62, you know?
You know, some people...
Had no prostate,
some people,
no
like, I've friended some friends that are in that age bracket now. I looked at them, I'm like, ooh, yeah, it's starting to catch up. You know what I mean? Some people defy age.
Yeah.
And then they start losing that battle, and you can start seeing it in certain areas.
Yeah, well...
You know what I mean?
I told you, man, I'm devising a sling for my testicles for the toilet because they're just so...
Didn't we give it a name, by the way? The nut net. The nut net.
I think it's the nut net.
The nut net. For those of you who sit down to piss.
Yeah. No. If you, you know, it's
exactly. What's up, Mark Pecoroni?
Pecoroni.
It's not Pecoroni. Yeah. It's Pecoroni.
Pecoroni.
Happy birthday.
No, thanks, man.
So, at any rate, so listen, we were talking about that. So,
you guys
are all there. I'm in town Saturday.
Come out to Gillespie's. I'm going to play with Classic Rock Therapy in the second set for a couple of songs.
Right.
Have some drinks with us. Have some food and shit.
Right.
Come out and bring the wife. And
yeah, while I'm going nuts, I wouldn't mind singing for a band again. Getting on stage.
Dude, come up and sing. Come
and
sing
with us. Yeah, we'll sing a song. I'll give you my list.
Fucking Mitch, listen, the two of you, you look like twins up there.
Oh, really?
Mitch Lautman, yeah.
So whatever, what was I just talking about?
Saturday and coming to
So this week, whatever, any rate.
Oh,
I was about to say, next Wednesday, don't forget, I'll be on the Paul Casanova Morning Show, 8 o'clock.
Make sure you keep posting this all week.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know what I mean? I'm going to, you know, call up and, you know, say hi and, you know.
You'll get the call-in number, by the way, and post it for everybody.
By the way, some of the news that came out, when we opened the show here in the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, we like to talk about things that are kind of, you know, out there, that kind of, and, you know, it's all been the same old shit, the Oscars, all that shit happened, but now... you know,
boring.
The North Korea basically came out and said they're willing to negotiate some stuff and disarm their nukes. They're basically saying, look, you know what I mean? So while these people are like, oh my God, he's going to go crazy. You know, it's soon becoming evident that he was doing this to build some sort of, you know, chip on his side to negotiate with.
Yeah.
And, you know what? Maybe Donald Trump will say, hey, you know, this is the deal. You get rid of your nukes and, we'll start sending you some popcorn. You know, we'll start sending you some, you know, some Milky Ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe give you a couple cable channels.
Yeah.
You know, we'll give you like Showtime and Cinemax. You can't get HBO yet. You have to prove yourself.
I heard they're out of chopsticks and China's ready to talk. That's the story. I'm not kidding.
You know, the talks about the tariffs, you know, and the stock. Listen, negotiated. It's all being negotiated, baby. Don't let before everybody starts going crazy and then quoting Wall Street Journal people, and you know, nothing better, like in my profession, of 28, 29 years when people that are like, that maybe like their line of work or their job history was like Starbucks.
Right.
You know, like
they've owned one stock,
Walgreens.
That they got as a baby.
You know,
and their grandfather bought them a stock as a baby.
You know, I'm just saying, or you know, that's their background. Or, and all of a sudden, for the last week, they decided they're going to read the Wall Street Journal articles.
Yeah,
you know, up against
with an interpreter,
up against 28, 29 years of actual day to day, hands on, you like photographic memory of every nonsensical thing that's ever happened in the economy.
Right,
and then somebody's going to sit there and have a question like. Like my
understand it,
That's the thing. When you're in something that long, not only do you understand it, it becomes part of your sensory. It becomes you get the flow of it. You don't just understand it.
It's all about the language, man. It's all about the language.
Listen, my point is, I give advice.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that's what my whole adult life's been is giving advice, and not about like you know what kind of birdhouse to put in your backyard. I don't give that kind of. I don't give the advice on like whether or not you should paint the house blue or purple. You know, that's not my. That's not. You know what I'm saying?
I give job advice.
I'm not going to give people a job. That's not my profession. Is giving people job advice.
Oh, okay.
But if it's about how do you do something, how do you become successful in what you're doing, or you know, this is what I'm doing. Where do you think I should go with it?
Career path.
Anything.
Right.
You have
knowledge of that.
Yeah.
You've been successful.
But you know, my job is to give people advice on how to be financially independent.
Right.
So if you want to be financially independent, either you're born with it or you got to earn it.
Yeah.
And not only that, then you got to keep it.
Yeah. That's the key right there. Keeping it, which means don't ever get married.
Yeah.
All right.
That's my first rule. That's my first advice.
If you do, don't get divorced. Go for the car accident.
And if you do get married, don't bang a stripper.
Right.
You know, just hold back.
Don't marry a stripper.
Don't. 2 weeks. Shh. You date a stripper for 2 weeks.
No,
that's
I was engaged to that one for 2 years.
Listen, again, that's my advice. If you're going to date a stripper 2 weeks.
Gorgeous, though.
That's it. 2 weeks. I don't care how good it's going. 2 weeks, you end it. You pull the plug.
She was so beautiful.
It ends horribly.
So stupid.
It always ends horribly.
It did. It took her an hour and a half to watch 60 Minutes.
Yeah. So
that's how dumb she was.
My idea is that's what I do.
Mm.
And if I can't give advice on a subject, I basically tell people, well, you know, you ought to talk to somebody like this or somebody like that. Or you know what? You should ask so-and-so. But
see,
you know what I'm saying?
As long as you make that referral, that's very nice of you.
Of course. And you know what? That's because when I ask for advice, I search the people I think I'm going to learn something from.
Mm-hmm.
Not the people that are going to tell me what I want to hear. Not the people that are like are going to be not going to be honest with me about something. Not the people that I don't think have their own head up their ass. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So this whole thing about advising and being advised and getting advice, it's a two-way street. Not only do you have to find people that will give you good advice, and then the second part is you have to be able to take good advice without letting your emotions get in the way, without letting all the nonsense and your self-esteem issues and you know and whatever out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You ever have somebody ask you for advice? You start giving advice. You're like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then why did you ask me, number one? And number two, you've already made up your mind before you asked me. Those are the people that come back at you like that.
Right.
They already have made up their mind, and they just want affirmation or confirmation that they're doing the right thing. If you disagree with them, you're a fucking asshole.
Well, that's my point. Don't ask me my advice.
Don't ask them.
Talk to the pet. Talk to the dog.
You'll be fine.
Talk to that stuffed animal over there.
Pour the gasoline right onto
the grill. Talk to
the
wall. Right? You know what I'm saying?
No, pour the gas right onto the grill while you're standing over
it. That's enough.
You'll be fine.
You know? And that's the thing. You know, I made that determination with comics a long time ago here in the scene. You know, I'm like... I remember this is like me and Tim Hanlon, who's coming back, by the way, to some tours here in South Florida.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing stuff and like, during the open mics, local comics will come up to us. Hey, you know, because we've been around and, you know, you'd help. You want to help because that's my natural. I'm going to help. I'm going to do something.
Right.
But then you get these little measly pricks that don't know what they're doing with it. And they turn it around and
Alan Schumann.
Another guy.
The shoe.
That guy would not only would that guy not take advice. He would. That's the kind of guy, he would ask you advice. He'd ask you something only because he wanted to tell you how he would do it.
Right.
Like he would say, hey, how do you think I should? And then you would go, and he'd go, yeah, you know what? This is the way I've been doing it. And you're like, buddy, you don't even work.
That's what I was laughing at you. You know? That's why you're up there yelling. Screaming.
Where, I'm touring. Where are you touring? But from Atlantic Boulevard to Atlantic Avenue?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, those are streets, by the way, for those of you listening in other countries. By the way, we do have, you know, I pulled up the demographics on Podbean, and we got people in France, a lot of people in France listening to us, believe it or not.
Bonjour, comment ça va?
Bonjour,
ça va bien?
And we got people in Australia.
Hey, mate. Hello, mate.
We got people in Great Britain.
We're number one
and
in Guam.
Germany.
Germany. Achtung.
And
what's with this Ava Braun?
I don't know. So, and then, of course, in the United States,
yeah,
mostly Florida, California, uh-huh, New York, Virginia. I mean, we're basically in 30 states.
You're like
solid.
Dog shit. You're like dog shit.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
You're everywhere, buddy.
Yeah. So, at any rate. So, listen, the idea of giving advice.
Oh, yeah. This is great.
I just,
sure.
You know, I do it. I get paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I'm just at the point where it's like, you know, and even in my profession, in my job, there's moments where the mentality of what I recognize again, when as you get old, the benefit of getting older is you can see through people a lot faster.
Okay, time out. Right there, you gave advice.
No, you did. I did it.
Now everybody who's listening or watching,
no.
Statement you made is advice. You said this is what's going to happen as you get older. That's advice.
All right, so now
you are an advisor.
How many would you guess are out there going, Doug doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. What an asshole.
See, if somebody...
It's interesting, like...
Because you're creating...
It's like a mirror. We're looking into a mirror.
Yes, and you've got to understand the vernacular and the rhetoric that you're using.
So,
because that can be construed as, oh, here's this fucking advice giver. Look at that. What is he doing?
Exactly.
Right.
What's his advice based on?
But that's what you do every show is basically you make a statement and your statement is...
Right.
It's really your opinion, which is kind of advice because you're an expert.
That's who I am. Well, I'm not an expert.
Well, yes, you are.
I'm only an expert
in
one or two things.
You are.
To these people.
No, I'm kidding. You're not morons. A couple of you. I can see you.
With those glasses.
You just pointed at yourself.
With those glasses that Peter Leonard's wearing.
No,
he actually can see through the Facebook Live.
Four of them went like this. They went.
Yeah, they all went. Yeah.
They pointed.
Oh, my God, he's talking to me. There's people that make posts. When we talk about comics, there's been comics that have made posts on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Let's say generalizing, I hate when somebody does this and they come and they do that mm-hmm. and then they say this, blah, 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 blah. And then it's always funny because you read that and there's always somebody that goes, is he talking about me? You know, I remember one time our good friend Perry Sack had contacted me. Somebody wrote something. He goes,
good friend.
And he goes, is he talking about me? Do you think he's calling me a hack or something like that? I'm like, dude, how do you even... What would even gave you that? You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Now, that would be a great nickname for him, Perry Hack.
Perry Hack? No, he's
he's a very funny
comic. He's broken away from the... Perry actually admitted that early in his comedy career, he was doing internet jokes.
Uh-huh.
And it was only because Perry's idea, like his buddies would text him, here's a joke, and he goes, that's hilarious. And he wouldn't know where... He wouldn't really check the source.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and thank God Sam Kinison was dead.
Yeah.
Or whoever.
That's a funny joke. Yeah, it was
God
when...
Thank Youngman's dead.
It was when Carlin told it.
Right. Or, you know what? There's a lot of that shit that goes on, man. People searching for, you know, comics that were gone for like 40 years and they take their acts, man. I want to go on the road as your boy.
Yeah.
London Lee. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Mark, thanks, Joe. Joe, my buddy Joe Gonzalez is laughing his ass off. He put LMAO.
That's
he didn't say my his ass. It's oh. Then it'd be HILHOA. Gary Santino, remember from the New York Comedy Club, Big Gary?
Yes.
You know, who looked like Big Puss from Sopranos. Mm-hmm. He's on Facebook Live watching. Hi, Gary. Mark says ego's getting their takeover and can't accept. Yeah, that's the thing. People, you know, I always remember as a stepdad, I always give my stepdaughter, and I'd say, do this. And she's like, I'm not stupid. I'm like, listen, if you're stupid, I wouldn't bother giving you advice.
Right.
You know what I mean? If somebody's stupid, you don't give them advice.
No.
You give them room.
Oh, I heard some expression today. I got to try to remember what this is.
Oh.
It's almost like an Asian thing. The most intelligent man can learn something from the stupidest question, but a stupid man can't learn from an intelligent answer.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
You fucking figure that out. I can't.
All Richards are dicks.
Yeah. No, it's a tough one.
No, listen. an intelligent man,
yes,
cannot learn something from a can learn something from a stupid question.
Yes.
Now, my father used to say to me, you know, you can learn from smart people.
This is more advice.
But you can, yeah. But you can also learn from stupid people. And it's almost the same idea. Like you learn from your mistakes, right? You learn a lot more lessons in life when you fuck up,
right?
Because when agony hits you in the face and pain, mm-hmm. you know, or hurt, mm. or all these emotions that really like tap into your soul and like really say, "Wake the fuck up, motherfucker!" You know, that, you know, when something really bad happens, that's that voice. You know, it kind of sounds like Chris Rock. Like, wake up, motherfucker!
Right.
You know, what are you doing? You know, mm-hmm. and I hear, oh my God, that's not a good idea. Maybe I shouldn't do this. You know,
stay away.
That's it. And that comes from a consciousness, right? Of basically saying, you know what, I'm gonna learn. But the only way you learn that is when you fuck up. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like that's why, like,
No. Don't make that assumption. Because people who are not smart can make the same mistake over and over and over again.
Yeah.
The smart people will make a mistake and go, "Oh shit! No, I'm not going to do that again."
You basically explained who my siblings are. Yeah, I used to say they trip on the same crack in the sidewalk every day.
Right,
and then you know that's the thing. You know, when people on the outside recognize that,
yeah,
and it's always easy from the outside. Let's give credit where credit's due.
It's easier when other
people could pick up on your shit way before you do, and that's being, you know, to know oneself is to know God. That's what that expression comes from. It's like once you really know who you are and you're really cool with yourself, and you know that you have shortcomings. I'm not saying I premature ejaculate. I'm just saying there's things that you don't, right? You know yourself. So if somebody says something to you, you're like, thanks, you know, what are you telling me? Something I already know. Mm-hmm. It's that conflict, right, with that ego and everything else where you say to somebody, look, you're a dumbass. Well, fuck you. You know, mm-hmm. maybe you should realize you're being a bit of a dumbass.
Mm.
You know, and we talked about this yesterday on the show, owning up, right? That's a big thing. You know, in our soccer, we say, my bad, you know, I fucked up on a team,
right.
You know, and, you know, but in life, there's too many people walking around with their heads up their ass.
Yes.
You know, and they want to act like they're, oh, you know what, you know, and that's where the hypocrisy comes from. Nothing makes me more pissed off when somebody says, oh, I'm into peace and I'm into tolerance and I'm into the new world and, you know,
I meditate
and I do all this shit. And then you have a conversation with them. They're like, oh, you can tell they just make irrational, quick decisions without any. And you're like, what the fuck was that all about?
Right.
You know, when this person was talking about, you know, dandelions and fucking walks to the park. And then the minute you're having a conversation, they flip off like a fucking loon.
Yeah, I left my zen in my other pants.
Yeah.
You know, are you fucking kidding me, dude? You know, I love that shit when people snap. I was in somebody's office, you know, about a week and a half ago. And this is a very nice guy. And he really, he's one of these mellow guys. And he's Mr. Charity and all this stuff and benevolence and the hot wife
right.
and all this shit. And something that somebody, you know, in the organization didn't deliver
right.
a piece of paper that had a, you know, just exactly what he did. And the guy just snapped.
Flipped out.
And I had never seen that side of this cat,
right.
you know. And and then just went back into the norm.
Right.
With no...
It's a little bit of bipolar disorder, by the way.
Yeah, and I've apologized in front of other people if I've snapped and shit like that. And I have. I mean, the old Peter Leonard was a lunatic. Yeah, but, you know, before I had cancer. And that changed my life like almost 12 years ago. Because I stopped... Because the stress in your life will kill you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was one of those guys that would... Dude, listen, I took phones, I yanked them out of walls and threw them across offices, I smashed, I took somebody's, you know,
You lost your temper before.
Yeah, in a business situation.
You get emotional.
I get emotional because, you know, like you, if you had a sales assistant that fucked up a transaction from a client that called you and wanted something done, here's the ringing bell, they wanted to buy this thing, I forgot to put that in, I'll do it. Well, what do you mean you forgot to put it in?
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
Well, I don't think I would physically, like, you know, beat them or anything.
No, but you would hit, but you
would scream and yell. I would go to, like, their superiors and, you know, whoever that would be.
You are the superior.
I'd go to them, my superior, and go, look, you got to get rid of this fucking douche. You know, that's a thing. Like, you know, listen, to me, again, I don't want to give
it up. Would you do it calmly?
No, I would go up to the person. This is, I love the expression, you know, what happened today is truly unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful phrase. You know, like, you could say, like, You know, and I, listen, what happened today was unacceptable.
Right.
Unfortunately, I'm sitting here holding a bag of shit.
Right.
But I, you know, I'm the one accept. You know, I'm the one. You know, and it, you know, and I don't. I know it happened, and I just want you to think about why it happened, and how this can never happen again.
And maybe on your next job, you won't make the same
mistake. Yeah, and maybe you won't fuck up when you deal with somebody else who, you know, that's what I mean by unacceptable.
Right.
That's basically, see, subconsciously you're saying to somebody, what happened today is unacceptable, meaning already in my mind, you're gone.
Right.
You know, that also means like in friendship, forget about work, right? There's just people, your friends, and people do a certain thing that's mm-hmm. unacceptable. You know, yes. It's like, and then, you know, this is the thing that amazes me. And this is coming to the forefront in my life too, where somebody who's treated me in a sense in that way, you know, did things that were unacceptable to me,
right?
On a couple occasions, wants to be back around whatever. So it's like with my brother, there's things that have happened that aren't acceptable,
mm-hmm.
and the only way it's gonna they're not gonna change,
no.
So it's gonna keep happening. Yes. So. That's another, like if somebody's tripping on the same crack in the sidewalk, I would be no different if I'm still the one taking in these people and trying mm-hmm. to forgive them forever. Forgiveness is great, but forgiveness doesn't mean you have to have the person over for cake.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness just means you can look at them and go, yeah, I'm done with it. I'm fine with it. You know, I'm not going to get, every time I see you, I'm not going to go, oh, you fucking asshole. You know, I'm just going to go, hey, what's up? You know, but I'm not going to. That's forgiveness. That doesn't mean I want to spend time with you.
No, stay away from me.
It's you've done. There's things that have happened that's unacceptable to me,
mm-hmm.
and that's how I cut the chain right there. I don't say, oh, but I like the person, or you know what, they get the good hot dogs, or you know, they get tickets to the game. Then you're selfish, and every bad thing that happens after that is yours. Again, I'm giving advice again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a natural progress. It's a natural.
That's what talk radio is, man.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
I'll tell you something. I've been in a situation where, and you've had to fire people. I've had to fire people. And when I fire someone, I say, do me a favor. Come up with three reasons why I shouldn't let
you
go
today. Now you sound like Gordon Ramsay on Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, I never
Tell me why
it.
You should stay in Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, I never heard. Oh, by the way, I saw the craziest cooking show last night.
Really?
With a guy who was about 350 pounds, sweating his ass off.
Right.
The funniest guy who used the F word 100 times.
Really?
He was making food. He was making the craziest food. I watched like 3 different shows, and he was saying shit and all these. He was nuts, man.
Right.
And he was so entertaining, man. He took these shows to a different level and cooked some great stuff, and people were just blown away by him. I got to remember his name.
That would have been great for the story.
Yeah, you know, it would, but...
But no one knows what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I'll tell
but
you
I'm
what...
I'm talking about Gordon Ramsay. Everybody knows.
Well, who cares? You know, but he's an asshole.
Yeah.
But there's a show that's going, okay.
Yeah, whatever.
What did he do?
Uh-oh. And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. The loudest typewriter... That's the only typewriter left in the news industry, by the way.
The teletype.
It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them. Florida drug dealer calls 911 to report missing cocaine.
Did they find it?
Oh, sorry, man. It's right in my pocket. How many people out there have actually lost cocaine only to find it in their pants? Like
I found it in somebody else's pants a few times when I've lost some cocaine. Hey, come here a second. Where are you going?
Yeah, never let somebody go into the, you know, it's always funny when those days is like, I'll be at a club and that one, you know, at a comedy club and something, all of a sudden I'll see somebody walking into the bathroom with their car keys coming out of their pocket. Like, yeah, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
They
just were valeting in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Do people still use car keys to snort blow? I mean, I don't know.
That or they got that long fingernail.
Never see anybody with a long nail, they're doing blow.
Responding to a call about a burglary on Sunday, police in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, discovered a very forthright man claiming to be a drug dealer in need of some assistance. David Blackman allegedly told deputies with Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office that a thief had broken into his car and swiped about $50 in cash in addition to a quarter ounce of his prized cocaine.
A quarter ounce? That's a lot of money, man.
Well, he only had $50 left, so.
$350 worth of blow right there.
A quarter?
Quarter ounce, yeah.
Is that an 8-ball?
No, an 8-ball is
8 ounces?
Half of a quarter. No, an 8-ball is half of a quarter.
All right.
That's how you're, this guy handles fucking thousands of dollars.
Well, I don't handle cocaine,
people.
Dude.
No, but you got a half, a quarter, an eighth.
You know,
see how that goes?
But money doesn't come. Money isn't like that.
But it's still.
You know, money.
You know, there's some correlation.
Money's
okay.
In the,
how about
money's
$1,000 bill, $500 bill?
Basically, money's in the metric system, which is simple.
See. Okay.
You know, this we're not talking about ounces and shit. Authorities confirmed that the items seem to be missing from. From where the 35-year-old said he had put them, but on the bright side, the deputies were able to help him locate a second bag of cocaine.
Oh, good.
That he had left on the center console, at which point they began reading Blackman his rights.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Thanks, man.
Does that describe him, by the way, his last name or no?
Well, I guess you'd say that. He's a Blackman. Yeah. I mean,
it
doesn't matter.
They were arrested Norman Juman the day before. Selling matzo brie out of the trunk of his car.
And Deputy Dennis Fields' arrest report, he noted that Blackman asked if I knew where the cocaine was there. If I knew the cocaine was there.
Yes.
Why did I let him keep taking or talking? I don't know. Amazing.
Listen,
I hope I don't read on the Paul Young Ron show.
I hope you don't say Paul Young Ron show.
Can you imagine?
Oh boy,
I got to get that out of my vocabulary.
You got to listen all week long, by the way.
Yeah.
And what? By the way, here's a great thing you should do. When Paul says something,
laugh.
No. During the week, while you're listening, think in your mind what you would say if that.
Oh
was,
yeah. No, okay? I do. By the way, I do that when I listen to Howard and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I'll sit in the chair myself.
Right,
and I'll just start thinking things. You know,
do you look like Rupert Pupkin in that movie? Do you like what's his name?
I don't
Robert
know
De Niro in did you love that movie, King of Comedy?
It's been a long time.
That's a fucking great. You guys watch King of Comedy? Ever see that movie with Robert De Niro? Mm. He plays a character named Rupert Pupkin. Sandra Bernhardt's in the movie. Jerry Lewis, rest in peace, is in the movie.
He wants to be a
greatest.
Comic so bad he kidnaps a late night
Jerry
talk
Lewis.
Show.
Oh my God! No, Sandra Bernhardt. Actually does, yeah, but he kept the two of them. What a great flick. By the way, what's this TV show on HBO about comedians?
Crashing?
Is that what it's called?
That's a great show. It's on Pete Holmes.
I'm going to see
I watched
that.
The second season. Starts funny. It's great. You got to watch the first season, though.
I'm
really
going to have to do that.
Any comic, it's great because it's about getting started, open mics.
Crashing.
And yeah, it's funny. Dude, like Crashing. Just remember Crashing.
That'll be easy for me. It's 62.
You know what?
I'll be 62 on Saturday.
You could Google HBO comedy series.
And then read about 800 of them.
Yeah, because there's that many.
Sure.
Anyway, enough of this story, I guess. Huh, Peter?
No.
Talk about something
else. If you've actually learned to read English, that'd be great.
Yeah, Blackman was arrested and charged with resisting an officer without violence for allegedly refusing to follow commands, processing drug paraphernalia, and possessing cocaine, which is a felony charge.
He's fucked.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Hello.
You call the police when you have fucking, that's like, oh my, you know, that's, you know, their hookers who will call the cop if the fucking job is not paid them.
It's just, you know.
Which is the funniest thing in the world, because they're, you know, they're getting arrested.
Just stupid.
This motherfucker didn't pay me. Well, you know what? You know, shit, he came in 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah,
and you want $50 in it?
I like in the back of the newspapers, when it comes to prostitutes, they say, bring 150 roses. So I actually show up with roses. is this our form of barter?
Thorny.
I was a bit thorny, so I brought you these roses.
There you go.
A woman arrested for allegedly throwing popcorn and hitting a toddler with a container during a movie.
Uh-oh, that's not good. Was it buttered?
Yeah, well, it's never real buttered.
Because that could be
none
really
of those popcorn, none of those, the butter and the popcorn in the movies are ever.
It's like oil. It's like a sweetened oil.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
It's
and I can't, by disgusting. The way, I can't stand it. Like, when we went to Black Panther, all huge lines. There's like three people. And these people behind the counter at the movie theater suck.
Well.
These are the people that couldn't get jobs at McDonald's.
Yeah.
I mean, they walk back and they're not productive. They don't know what they're doing.
No.
Woman arrested for
allegedly. So you brought your own Jiffy Pop and a lighter?
Yeah.
He's in the front shaking this fucking jib over a lighter.
A woman arrested for allegedly throwing popcorn and hitting a toddler with a container. A New York woman was arrested after she allegedly dumped her popcorn on a 2-year-old at the movies.
Oh, wow.
And then hit the toddler in the head with the container.
Was it her kid or somebody else's?
Nope, her someone else's. Police said the unidentified toddler went to a movie. Well, the toddler doesn't have
by
any
herself.
ID yet.
Right.
It was Stewie from Family Guy.
Hey, why are you hitting me with that thing?
Police said the unidentified blah, blah, in Levittown, New York, in January, and asked her mom for popcorn during the show. Carrie Carmen, 25, reportedly told the child to be quiet. The child's mom then told Carmen not to talk to her daughter, and Carmen allegedly started to yell and curse at the mother and the daughter.
First of all, it was 50 Shades of Grey. You know, you don't take a two-year-old to see 50 Shades of Grey. You know, don't interrupt your mother while she's masturbating during a movie, you know, for popcorn. So what else happened?
Carmen then allegedly dumped her own popcorn on the child and struck her with the container. Carmen and her father, 61-year-old child, I swear to God, 61-year-old child, Charles Carmen, who she was at the theater with, both allegedly fled after the incident.
They asked for a refund?
Oh, the chick who hit the girl with the popcorn was with her father, who's 61.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, he was getting ready. He was getting ready to throw a hot dog at her, but he couldn't finish eating it. Police said the toddler suffered a bruise to his head and some popcorn smudges on his face.
And he picked up a cigarette butt and ate it instead of the popcorn.
I saw a video on Facebook earlier today. Actually, I didn't see it, watch it, but I saw the thing about it. Mm-hmm. And it was somebody getting into a fight. A man is punching another man who's holding a baby in his hands.
I watched the fight.
Did you watch it?
Oh, my God. You got to see. And then somebody finally got smart and took the baby.
Grabbed the baby
but
out of the
I can't believe the guy took like six good shots to the face and didn't go down. The second that baby was out of his arms, he took a shot and he went down. He was.
Oh, so he got knocked. This guy's a real dad. Like, he didn't want to go down. He was thinking about his kid.
Yeah.
So he took those blows for his kid.
He also got.
You better remind that kid there when he's fucking in school. And he's like, hey, you know what? I took a few shots for you, you punk.
If he lives, they airlifted him to a hospital.
Oh, yeah?
Because he got severely beaten.
So he's getting punched while he's holding the baby. Someone takes the baby, and then the guy gets knocked out, and he's done.
It's done, and peeing, kicking, all of it, man.
He was getting kicked when he was down, too?
I'm sure, yeah. They cut the video at that point.
Jesus Christ.
But I watched a good 30 seconds of him getting pummeled.
Well,
it's very sad, man.
Listen, never let that happen to you.
No, hold the baby up. The shield.
Yeah, after a while.
Why let somebody punch you in the fucking face five times? You know, use the kid. They're much pliable.
Yeah, use them as a shield.
Those diapers are thick.
Their bones are like cartilage. They're like rubbery.
Yeah, they're diapers.
So you could use the kid as a fucking nunchuck. You could just fucking swung around and hit the guy in the head with him.
By the feet.
Yeah, woo! Oh, man. I just don't believe, like, people listen, I said this the other day, I go, you know, sometimes this is our mic, it's not even the mic, it's actually just the ears.
Yeah.
When I hear that, like right. that.
Yeah.
You guys hear that out there? Hold on.
No, I don't know if they do. Hey!
Yeah.
There
you go. I don't know, man. I got to air my board up. But, dude, that's what I'm saying, I'm not surprised. I'm never surprised at shit anymore than anybody does.
I hate it.
Like Daylight this one. Here's a story. This is the story that this is the one I did see. A brute in a suit pummels a strap hanger for looking at him. This is on the subway system in New York.
Oh,
this guy
God.
Was dressed up in his he had a coat on over a suit, and he looked like a Hispanic or black man. I don't know. Just you know, police show shows a suit and a tie wearing man pummeling a strap hanger inside. What the hell is a strap hanger?
A strap hanger is just a guy who's holding on to it. Just a subway rider. A subway rider.
Inside Times Square subway station for looking at him the wrong way.
I told you that story when I'm in his suit. Like the guy spit on my suit.
You kicked him. The men were riding a subway about 6:20 p.m. on February 27th into the 42nd Street Times Square station.
Of course.
When the man looked at the stranger, and said something similar. What are you staring at? Police said. The victim told police he tried to ignore the aggressive man. That's not good when somebody says that. What are you looking at?
No, I hate
that. Yeah, there's, you know what I mean? Either you got a couple choices. You just kind of turn your head and go, yeah. I'm sorry, you know. Or you could try to, like, I usually use humor.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, and then never turn your head to somebody's angry because they're probably going to co-cock you.
I say your mother is what I say usually.
Yeah. What are you looking at?
I usually
your
say,
mother?
I usually say, I'm looking at you, you sweet looking fucking thing.
No, I don't want to go.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
I
just go, you know, I'm sorry, dude. I had a long day. I'm just staring into space, man.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Or you could say, you know, you look like the guy I met at the Roman bathhouse.
Right.
You know? It'd be funny.
You look
like the guy who's been banging my wife, you fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
I say you look like
and
the
act
guy.
Like you're gonna grab a gun and then, you know, watch him shit himself.
I usually say, I'm the guy you think you are. That's who you're looking at.
Yeah. I'm the man in the mirror, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
talking to the man in the middle. I'm watching him to change his ways.
I'm grabbing my ankles today.
The men were riding the subway. Yeah, it says that the victim told police he tried ignoring him. What the fuck, man? Video released. Hold on a second. Yeah. Anyway, video released on Monday night shows the attacker walloping the victim after the train pulls into the station. Mm. He approaches a man who is leaning against the wall and begins throwing punches until the victim collapses. He does. He pummels him. He boom, boom, rapid fire. He had an AR-15 of punches.
Lucky he didn't push him in front of a train, because that's what usually happens in the subway.
Sometimes, yeah, you don't want
to. I'd be petrified. Yeah. See, the subway scare me.
When I'm in the subway, I never stand. I've seen people stand there. I walk off a few feet. I see people standing there waiting at the edge. I'm like, what are you, nuts?
When I was a kid, I stood right there, man. With that.
Nah, man. I go back. I sit back a bit.
Things scare me much more now than they did when I was young.
Of course.
Women.
The victim suffered chipped teeth and bruising and swelling to his face. And he was treated at the scene. Unfortunately, it was a bum with a dirty rag.
How do you treat chipped teeth? You hand them to him?
Yeah.
Here. Glue these back.
Here, to chew some chiclet and put it in its place.
Yeah.
The police described the suspect as about 6 feet tall,
yes,
240 pounds, uh-huh, and in his 30s.
Oh, my God. Well, let's see. Hold on. There's 11 million people in New York City.
I'll get right on it.
Yeah. That's in a suit and a tie. So that won't be hard to find on 42nd Street in Times Square tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know how many fucking people in suits and ties there are in their 30s? Yeah,
no. Well, this guy had a distinctive look. He kind of looked like...
Yeah, angry.
He kind of looked like... A-Rod? He looked like a bit like A-Rod. And like, wow. He looked like the love child of A-Rod Vin Diesel. He had that kind of look about him.
Oh, so he's angry. And he also had... His knuckles are a little bruised.
Yeah, they're going to be bruised. You know?
Yeah.
I always look at that, you know, especially when I used to get a lot of fights when I was a teenager and stuff. Uh-huh.
Look to see if they're heavy.
I always look at somebody's hands to see how, yeah, you know, heavy of a punch they probably. But I would also, you look at the scarring in their knuckles. Like in my, I was in karate, my knuckles always had bruises and like swelling, and you know. But and plus, you know, if you look at somebody and their hands look like they've been, you know, using Dove soap all day,
right? Palmolive.
You know, I keep talking tough there, Snowflake.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna expect you to throw, and you know, throw. Go ahead and throw that punch.
They're in the hospital for a splinter.
Yeah.
Mommy!
Man over angry over power outage, threatened utility guy.
Oh, please. I did that over the phone during the after the hurricane.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, you were pissed.
8 days.
Listen, before you know it, you can't just think about Florida now. We got a few months away now before hurricane season again.
Yeah.
And boy, that's who wants to go through that shit again.
I have to check and see if my homeowners association lets you have a generator, because I just might buy a generator again.
Yeah,
I had an apartment.
We almost put down the big money to put like the main one on the side of the house.
Those
that keeps
big
that
big money, baby.
Yeah, because they always tell you it's like $5,000, but then the slab, concrete. Yeah, you know, the slab of concrete and the foundation they got to lay is about $5,000 too.
Yeah.
Vernon, New Jersey. Authorities say a New Jersey man whose home has been without power since last week's nor'easter threatened to kidnap a utility company employee and blow up a substation.
What'd she look like?
You know, man, like, listen, you better turn my electricity on or Susie ain't coming home. And I'm going to blow up station full. I got a bunch of firecrackers and M80s. Vernon police said 63-year-old Robert Winter. Well, it's cold.
Yeah.
And he's getting wintry. Was charged with making terrorist threats. Roger Heatmiser.
Yeah. No.
Mr. Roger Heatmiser. I'm Mr. Sun.
Somebody Winter and Sammy Summer.
Authorities say Winter called Jersey Central Power and Light on Monday and quickly became agitated while speaking with a utility staffer. They say he threatened to kidnap an employee and then indicated that he knew how to make bombs and would blow up substations so no one could have power. See, he's a miserable fuck. Yeah. If he just can't accept where he is in life, that he's not, you know, he's going to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah.
This guy needs to go in Dougie's room. Remember Dougie's room? Mm-hmm. It's like the Roach Hotel. You go in, you disappear. Nobody knows anything anymore, and that's it. You're gone. That's the Dougie room.
This is a moron, this cat.
They contacted police. Winter was arrested a short time later at his home. It wasn't known Tuesday if he had retained an attorney, or a bomb for that matter. Hmm. He didn't realize he was making bombs. He was in a toilet. Man declared deed. Man declared dead. I got to get glasses. I really do.
I really think you do. Man.
I'm. You know.
This could be it.
People think I'm stupid. I just can't see well. Man declared dead. Wakes up moments before the autopsy.
Oh my God.
Hey, what you
before
doing with that knife?
Autopsy?
Hey, where's my family? Oh, they spent my life insurance money already.
Hold on. First of all, whoever took his pulse needs to buy a new watch.
Yeah.
If you know, imagine that you're going like this.
Or get their hands no longer numb.
Right. And you're looking and you're going, wait a second. Do I have a second hand?
Yeah.
I don't have a second hand.
A man who died in a car crash in India reportedly woke up just moments before his autopsy. Figures.
They actually were trying to harvest his organs while he was still alive.
I could use that kidney.
Yeah, my friend and my neighbor's giving me 20 rubles for it.
The autopsy was just about to begin in Himanshu Baradudra, who had been pronounced dead by doctors.
He's dead. No, he's not.
Barwadi had been seriously injured in a car accident after his condition worsened in the hospital. He was first declared brain dead.
Well, you know,
and then the surgeon was then declared.
It took them fucking 45 minutes to unwrap his fucking turban to get to
We must take the turban off before we declare her bed is dead.
No, they have to find it. He might have banged his head. Let's look. And they're unwrapping this fucking head for like 16 minutes. He bleeds out.
He was kept in the mortuary overnight before a planned postmortem. Dr. C, get him.
Hold on. Wait a second. They had him in a mortuary overnight. No food.
Yeah.
No water. They didn't see pee-pee or duty like where they have him in a refrigerator.
I imagine a morgue in India must not be a very attractive,
I don't know if they even have like refrigeration. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What is that smell? It smells like curry. Dr. C. Getham of the Chindara District Hospital said the man continues to be brain dead.
C. Getham?
And still needs treatment.
C. Getham. You better get him another doctor. See, get him another doctor.
Seems like a lot of people were pissed. They actually outside. You don't know what you're doing. People are protesting. The doctors in there.
They started unburying people. They went to the local cemetery. They're like, quicker date. That was just yesterday. Bring him up quick.
Oh my God, that's like get the list of the deaf people from last week. And they think they have fucking zombies and all. It's just people. We're not dead.
All you hear is this. You walk in the cemetery, you hear this.
The dog's going to bark, dude.
Oh, sorry. That's funny. Holy shit. That's fucking
India.
Crazy, man. They fucking, open a McDonald's.
Now, I mentioned earlier in the show that we have listeners in Australia, so they'll know this. Australia family finds the world's oldest message in a bottle.
Oh, that's a song by... what do you call it?
The Police.
Sting, the Police, yeah.
Message in a bottle.
Doom, 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 doom.
Message in a bottle,
boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
A year has passed since I wrote my note. In March 6th, a Perth family made an unintentional discovery early this year on a Western Australia beach, the world's oldest message in a bottle.
They found it in their Perth.
And it was
Perth.
And it was Sting saying, I want to be a single artist.
They actually found a message in a bottle.
The gin bottle found on a beach a bit north of Wedge Island bore a 132-year-old message dated June 12th, 1886.
Let me tell you something.
It was written by Peter Leonard.
I wrote that, yeah. Dude, I fucking wrote it and threw it in. I just dated it, 1886, threw it in 4 weeks ago.
Well, the parchment had a match. Tanya Illman saw the model and thought it would be it would make for a neat decoration. Really, somebody had to take a piss in it. The note inside, however, disclosed the bottle's intended purpose. German seafarers asked discoverers to record their coordinates and finding date before returning the bottle and note to Hamburg's German National Observatory or the closest German consulate.
Wow.
The note was part of a 69-year-old German experiment that included thousands of bottles and messages. See that? No wonder there's so much fucking sea rises.
Yeah. How many Jews could they fit in that bottle? Yeah. How many Jews could they get in that bottle? Yeah. There's an experiment.
That's terrible.
That's fucked up, man. I'm Jewish. I know.
See, that's what happened to the Germans.
I can say it.
That's where the Germans had that problem. Like they had all these weird experiments. Enough with the bottles. Let's get some of those Jews in the room.
Right.
Researchers think the Illman bottle likely washed up onto the Australian shore within a year of being tossed into the ocean.
Mm.
Then it probably became buried under damp sand until a storm surge. What the hell you know? Let us imagine that it was floating around for all this time, like bouncing off like porpoises, and you know a whale blew it out of its fucking.
No, they were playing with it. The porpoises were flipping in the air.
Yeah, like bing, bing, bing. You know, and then fish called Wanda. Oh, that's a TV show. Nemo.
No,
you
what
know,
about
swam
no,
by
Daryl
it.
Hannah?
Yeah,
Splash.
Yeah, the mermaid. Yeah,
Splash. Let me ask you this: What color was that bottle?
It was very dark
green.
It was very dark.
Or brown, very dark brown.
Very dark.
Clear
it looks like
it's
like a whiskey bottle. Looks like a
snorting whiskey. Mm.
Drinking cocaine. Researchers think the blah, blah, blah. Okay. A Western Australian Museum confirmed the message's legitimacy, making it the oldest message in a bottle ever found.
Wow.
And Sting was pissed. Breaking the previous record of 108 years, the Ullman family has since loaned the note and bottle to the museum.
Yeah, for 20 cents. Hey, do we get a on the bottom of the bottle, there's actually a refund, 5 cents, except in Arizona, Delaware, and Maryland.
Yeah.
You know
when we were kids.
On the bottles?
When we were kids, and all my buddy Tony Gonzalez, Joe Gonzalez, still on here.
Yeah.
Joe. But we used to get baskets and go get soda bottles the construction sites.
Oh, sorry, man.
There'd be like bottles all, you know, you get all, and you'd have all these hundreds of bottles. Yeah. You know, you get like 10 cents a piece.
Yeah.
Make for like $8-$9.
Did you cut your bare feet walking around those bottles?
Yeah, I stepped on plenty of nails.
You poor bastard.
Nothing worse than you walking with a pair of Converse. You know, like, you know, what's that, Sam? What's those old Converse?
Oh, the All-Stars.
Yeah, Chuck Connors. Who is it? Chuck Smith. Chuck Smith.
No.
Chuck Woolery? Chuck E. Cheese?
Chuck Biscuits. No, Chuck.
Chuck Berry?
Chuck Wagon.
Chuck Up, Chuck, Chuck?
Hold on.
Come on, man. You're too old. You're forgetting everything. It's Chuck Johnson's.
No.
No, it's Chuck Jones. Anybody else know out there?
Damn it. It was Chuck somebody, man.
Yeah. What's this Converse? The Converse sneakers, Chuck.
Chuck something.
Chucky Chucks.
I'm going to ask.
No one on Facebook knows either.
Oh, come on.
Here's our next story. Buyer pulls out of home sale after discovering its porn past. Now, would you buy a house that filmed 2000 porn videos?
Depends if they were.
I mean, I wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't buy it furnished.
No, exactly. You know?
You know what I mean?
I'd probably, you know, the stucco ceiling probably wasn't stucco.
Hey,
I will guarantee you that.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I would scrape, have that.
What's this popcorn ceiling?
I would have that scraped immediately.
Yeah.
That's gone.
Says here, this home's seen its fair share of shady, of happy endings, but not for the person who is about to buy it. In Paradise Valley, Arizona, a woman named Linda Fine had just made a $1.8 million offer on a four-bedroom, 4,100-square-foot home spread across 1.3-acre lot. It's not a bad spread. Until she pulled out of the deal after discovering in past, its past is in the porn industry. It was a porn house.
Jesus.
Indeed, the property had been used as the set of a wifey's world, a porn site founded in 1998.
Well, they walked in and somebody, you know, every real estate agent had a big problem with it.
Right.
They'd walk in, somebody been cooking fish?
It smells like bleach. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I'd give a shit.
I wouldn't
if,
care.
If porn was, you know, if
what
I got
about
a good
a
deal.
What about a murder?
No, I would stay away, you know. Now they have to. Don't realtors have to disclose that?
Yes.
You know, if anybody's been murdered in a house, if you ask.
Yeah, I think they have to.
Do you think they all know? Yeah, can you imagine if a realtor says, I don't know, I'll find out. And like, well, we're done looking until you find out.
Yeah, I would figure that too.
At that price point, I figured there might be some courtesy to the buyer. Fine told the Republic, it just can't make Thanksgiving dinner on counters where a porn star had been lounging around or getting banged, as she probably wanted to say.
Right.
The home's listing agent told Fine the owners were in the entertainment industry. That tidbit led her to that shocking discovery. So, I don't know. I don't think I'd really care if the house I was buying was, you know.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't care.
I wouldn't care either.
I would say I would make sure everything's scrubbed down. Yeah, I'd get rid of the carpet.
Yeah.
Like in most new porn, they got rid of the carpet.
Yeah.
Any rate, we're out in time.
You what?
Yeah, that's it. We're out of time. Hey, guys, we're done.
Please.
That's it. That's all we have time for today on the Wake
Up Larry
Dougie
Show. You'll remind people next week, Wednesday. Don't forget.
Guys, Wednesday,
the Paul Castronovo Show.
Paul Castronovo Show. I'll be there at 8 in the morning. Check in. That's when I'll be on the show. So call in and join me on that, the Paul Castronovo Show, next week.
105.9.
Don't forget, next week, I'm going to be in Monsters Comedy Contest in Orlando at the Abbey on Thursday the 15th of March.
Where is that?
It's at the Abbey. It's in Orlando area, in downtown Orlando. I'm competing in the Monsters Comedy Contest. Wednesday, the 14th, I'm going to be at night, I'm going to be at Paul Castronovo's show in the morning, but at night, I'm going to be at the Orlando Improv performing in Big Low and Friends comedy show at the Orlando Improv.
That's big time, man.
And I'm going to be in Vegas at the LA Comedy Club on March 19th and the Laugh Factory in Vegas on March 20th. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. Follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. Join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. And aside from that, Peter?
Check me out on Facebook, man. I got some big things coming very soon. Peter Leonard just brought, or the Food for Thought radio show.
There you go.
And that's it. And, you know, see you Saturday night, I hope, Dougie.
We'll see what happens. But you guys, we'll see you here next week at the same spot.
Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun.